Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Point Forward podcast. Again, Milwaukee Bucks are getting prepared to open up the 2024 playoffs against the Indiana Pacers Sunday, April 21st at Pfizer Forum. We spoke to Jim Ozarski earlier in the week, and now my special guest, Lori Nichol, also in studio. I'm very excited. I don't ever get to see you guys in studio.
Yeah, I know.
We have
like 3-4 days to kill here before the games.
Yes, it's true. So you have to be lounging around.
You know, you have just me here, so I'm going to say hi to all 6 listeners.
Oh, please.
Personally, by name.
That's
all there will be.
There's at least 1,000 of them already in the first 25 minutes of this conversation. There will be 1,000. So, Lori, I brought you in here to talk about a couple things. We spoke, Jim and I, a lot about the matchup with the Pacers and just in general, you know, how the Bucks have looked, the injury situation. Giannis is obviously the top of mind, but I wanted to talk specifically about Doc Rivers and the coaching situation, because you've written a lot about that. You wrote about sort of the dark cloud that's been over this team, that this season has felt differently to you. I'd be curious, I kind of want to know, like, Damian Lillard's role in that, if you have sort of a perception of that. But this team did the very unusual thing of firing a new coach, midseason through a very successful season on paper. I think everyone saw that there were flaws and concerns, but going to Doc Rivers, the established veteran, he's got history in Milwaukee. Like, there are a lot of reasons why that looked good. Why I think still in my heart that was the right move. But the Bucks have struggled since then. The schedule's gotten tougher. There are a lot of reasons for that. But this is a team that could not hold on to the 2 seed. They go into the playoffs with some serious questions about whether or not they can do this, whether Doc Rivers can do this. So I've thrown all that out there. What I want to start with is these two stories you did at jsonline.com about the maybe lack of joy and about the obstacles Doc Rivers has faced. As you did them, what were some of the takeaways? What were some of the things that maybe surprised you chatting with Doc Rivers, chatting with members of the Bucks? What were some things that caught you off guard that you really thought were kind of things you would really want to highlight in those pieces that really told the story about as well as anything?
Well, it was interesting because it was Pat Connaughton, the reserve longtime guard who's been here, who finally broached the subject. Mm-hmm. It's something that I noticed, you know, but it's such a weird question to ask Damian Lillard. Hey, I know you're going through stuff off the court, but are
right,
you happy
yeah.
to be here? You know, yeah. like, I just never asked about it because, first of all, access is horrible. It's the worst it's ever been for media to talk to players. So it's really hard for me to even just talk to somebody 10 minutes to gauge them. But a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week and a half ago, Pat Connaughton said, you know, I'm not seeing joy. I'm not seeing happiness. I'm not seeing the celebrations, you know, celebrating the little victories within a game to win the game. And that's really critical for this team. That is not how they have been. They were known for their chemistry in 19 when they finally got to the Eastern Conference Finals. And they were known for their team chemistry when they won the championship. Team chemistry is one of those really strange tangibles that you know in sports kind of when you see it when it's there,
yeah.
and you really see it when it's not there. And that's what's fascinating to me, is that this is a collection of a great group of players talent-wise. But it's a mystery to me a little bit of how they are interacting, not that they're not getting along, but how they're playing off of one another, how they're complementing one another. And the stress and the strain of living with all that pressure has been evident to me all year long. Remember, they gave Damian Lillard a mayor's welcome when he got here,
yeah.
which I understand, like, this generation, some people really love that. I thought that was kind of bad PR to me. Like, let the guy get in
yeah.
the door.
It doesn't seem like it fit what he wanted, maybe in retrospect.
He didn't even talk to the media.
Yeah.
You know, and if you see all the limited footage that there is. So he looked like, gosh, I just got here, you know. But that was the jumping off point of this. But even when they had the Adrian Griffin hiring, that wasn't a media thing where you just interview him and get his philosophy and his vision for things. It turned into a pep rally.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was weird. Like, I'm, again, maybe it's old school Gen X, but do that when you win it. You know, do that when you do something.
Sure.
Well, all the respect to Damian Lillard or whatever. So anyway, there was this mounting pressure as soon as they fired Mike Budenholzer less than a year ago, around this time, the pressure was huge. And that starts with Giannis. It begins, ends with Giannis Antetokounmpo playing through all his injuries. But then there's this cascading effect. Kyle Korver once told me the 1 year that he played here, the reason he thought the team chemistry with the Bucks was always so good was because it always follows the leader. And Giannis is the leader. And his personality, being fun, being lighthearted, joking, talking to people, being interested, that always, the filter down or the trickle down effect of that always led to that. But he's been under an extreme amount of pressure. He looks like he's playing under pressure this year. And so, again, this cascading effect of what they've been going through all year, all of the strange press conferences we've seen where the players are saying there's no organization, things like that. It finally culminated into this losing streak in April where Pat Connaughton says there's no joy. And then 2 days later, Giannis Antetokounmpo, before he gets hurt again, says the same thing. He basically echoed everything that Pat Connaughton said. And that, to me, I trust Giannis when he says something like that. He's, you know, reporters have all their sources and stuff. Giannis is my best source. You know, when he says something, I listen and believe him. And he put it out there.
So I guess I'd be curious to know more about what you've observed, since you don't, you said access isn't as good as it normally is. If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm still seeing Bobby Portis, you know, work the crowd. I'm seeing Pat Beverly do his thing. So it's not necessarily a complete void where it used to be. Right. And, you know, the old saying goes, winning cures all ills. Well, they're winning. You know, they're not winning to the degree that you would expect a championship caliber team to do. And maybe that's part of this here. But they're still a top three team in the East. They haven't torpedoed out of the playoffs or anything like that. And they do have a championship in their rear view, you know, like – there is pressure on Giannis to sustain that, to build a dynasty, to not just be a one championship guy. I think if you look back on Giannis's career and he only has one title, I do think there will be some disappointment there, the way it is with the Packers around these parts. That
they missed a window,
they missed an opportunity. So I do get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this as simple as Giannis is just more intense than he used to be, and that is playing into it? He's always been intense, but like you said, there aren't the dad jokes, there aren't the viral moments this year, maybe as much. And maybe it's unfair to expect him to just produce those. Those are just naturally born. I don't know. Like, are there other signs you've seen even on the floor or even in the access you've had that suggest to you this team is just different?
Well, I asked Giannis that pretty directly. I said, you know, there's even a point where you dropped your head when, you know, when the play went poorly and all that. And he said, well, to be fair, I'm a competitor. I'm not here to, you know, and we have to remember that who he is, his makeup, his personality, ultimately he might be doing the best he can to lead the team and be positive, but he's not going to be happy losing. And they have been so wildly inconsistent this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just see a team that's under a lot of pressure. And a part of that was by design because of the roster that was created. And part of that is because the window for Giannis has been smaller at the age of 29, which is still extremely young. That's already, though, you're getting out of the MVP window. Very few MVPs are crowned in their 30s.
For sure,
NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I keep going back to the fact that, okay, Mike Budenholzer, they look foolish for firing him.
Yeah, I was definitely going to ask about that. Yes.
Can I talk about that?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you point blank. Did they just make a huge mistake firing Mike Budenholzer?
Yes, I mean, 100%. Okay, first of all, his wins in the 60 wins, 56, 51, 58 win seasons. There was only one season that he was below 50 wins with 46. Defensive ranking. They were number one his first year and his second year. They were ranked number three last year in defense. The lowest they ever got under Mike Budenholzer was ninth. The Bucks are currently 16th now. And for all of you Damian Lillard fans who have just come along to see what's happening, that's unheard of. I mean, they were even worse than that in the beginning of the year. They've actually gotten better. So
because they're still bringing back Giannis and Brook Lopez, who are two of the best defensive players, have been two of the best in the NBA. So you don't just go from best in the league to, like, mediocre
with
those
Drew
guys.
Well, Drew Holiday, you know,
gone. That's a big loss. You're right.
Eric Bledsoe, gone. I mean, and the thing, Budenholzer had a system. He had things that were tried and true. Jim Ozarski reported, our beat reporter reported, you know, that part of the reason that he was let go and Adrian Griffin was brought in was that Budenholzer apparently didn't make enough adjustments in postseason.
Yes.
Well, this year, that's all I heard about in November and December with the Bucks. Oh, we can adjust. We can change our defense from game to game. We can. Well, they've adjusted themselves to the point where they have no identity and no calling card, you know, and their defense, their transition defense has been really rough. It's one of the worst in the league, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fast break defense, point in the paint defense. So I think by firing Mike Budenholzer, that changed the whole dynamic of this team. And the only way I could see that it was justified is if there was something going on behind the scenes off the court that never was reported that we don't know about. And I mean beyond personality clashes. It's totally normal for you to have confrontations with other competitors or people who are driven, who want to win a championship in any setting. That's business or family dynamics, anything like that. I'm talking about I'm hoping that there was something behind the scenes that was just so god-awful that they got rid of this championship-winning coach, because otherwise I can't make any sense of it. You said it made sense to you, though. And I was talking, you know, maybe if all you care about is playoffs and all you care about is the record in the playoffs and that you're just going to fire coaches every 3 or 4 years, you know, then
teams have done that.
You know, Eric Spoelstra is my hero then. Like,
yeah,
go,
he's amazing.
Man, just stick with it, because I'm from, like, the era of, like, Phil Jackson and stuff like that where you just respect the whole body of work. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, Eric Spoelstra, along with Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr, are probably the coaches of this generation, legitimately, the way that his teams have performed in the postseason, even when it was just LeBron. And, you know, you start to realize just because you have LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh doesn't mean you're going to win every single title. It's hard to do, even with an elite front line. And now we're in an era where every team's got somebody. Every team's got two or three guys that are really good. So, you know, like the Dallas Mavericks are, what, the 5 seed in the West? Could they be a 4 seed? I don't know. Could they win the NBA title? 100%. Totally. Of course they could. So it's – I understood, you know, in the moment I understood this is a team that has won a title. Now they're looking for more. And, okay, we've seen trouble in the playoffs, you know, where things matter more than they do for – some teams just want to be in the playoffs. Some teams know they're going to the playoffs, like the Bucks and a handful of maybe 5 or 6 other teams. Those teams don't have aspirations of going out in the second round. So I understood that at the time. In retrospect, I also think it was a mistake. I don't know if you'd be guaranteed better performances in the playoffs, but you would be guaranteed that there wouldn't be – I don't think it's unfair to say the Bucks have taken a huge step back, right, from where they were last year, at least going into the playoffs last year. They have backslid. They are not a team that we think will for sure win that first-round playoff series against the Pacers. I think that's what caught everybody off guard about the Heat. I mean, no one thought the Bucks were going to lose to the Heat. The Heat didn't think the Bucks were going to lose to the Heat. The players, maybe, but not the fans of Miami. So I understood that they wanted to hold that off at the pass. I think they picked the wrong guy. And then tried to make that a midseason swivel, which complicates things. Everything's new in January again. I mean, you can see how it would take a while to get up to speed. They brought in a new player. I understand that trade on its face value. I understand everything about it. I think it's worth discussing. If that was the right move, I still think it was. But, you know, all these things are changing at once, and it's hard to maintain. Do you have any greater clarity on the Adrian Griffin Doc Rivers thing than when it happened, you know, when they decided to fire Adrian Griffin in January and replace him with Doc Rivers? Do you have any new renewed clarity about, you know, why they hired him in the first place? I mean, that's kind of the thing I keep coming back to, is like, what did they see in the first place that they so clearly thought after 43 games, 30 of which were wins, this is so not the guy? How did you make that assessment then in the first place that he was your guy? I just, like, what could he have shown that made them believe that? I'm still really confused why they went with Griffin in the first place.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't really know either. It was a little bit of a gamble. I know he has all the coaching pedigree, but he never had a head coaching position.
But, I mean, everybody starts somewhere, right? Like, you had to think at some point.
Totally. And, again, I go back, Giannis, I believe him when he says, I asked Giannis directly, you know, supposedly this was your hire, right? Because mm-hmm. that's been out there in a couple of news outlets, and it's been not ours, I don't think. And he said he answered it pretty, and I take him for face value. He said it wasn't his hire, that he gave his input just like he did on Mike Budenholzer, and sure. that he was asked his opinion and that sort of thing. I don't know. I think it's been a mess. I do respect the gamble that John Horst made to say, all right, we're going to go for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I get the
Me too.
The theme of that, that Giannis is the guy, we have a window. I never understood the firing, though, of Budenholzer. I understand changing the roster around pretty dramatically or, you know, even making some really harsh cuts with some of the staples of this offense, or the founding fathers, basically.
Yeah.
You know, but that made more sense to me than I've never understood the coaching change. Yes, they really played poorly in the Heat series, but to get fired over that, I've never really. And I don't think we're going to find out. Some of this stuff won't come out until, if it ever does, it won't come out until after the Olympics or even till early next season, because they're not going to talk about it now and ruin the season now. It's too much bulletin board fodder and things like that.
Budenholzer's been a pretty private person, so I think he probably won't say much unless he gets a new job and maybe someone goes in depth on it, but I don't think so.
Yeah. If he'd call me right away, like, I won't hear if Mike Budenholzer gives his side of it.
Yeah, that's not a nice, his nature. That's a nice story. No, it's not his nature. And I don't hold this against Giannis, but like, there's no way to me he wasn't deeply, deeply involved on who they hired. You know, like, this was, you can't have a stakeholder like Giannis Antetokounmpo and not completely have him involved on every level. So I'll never believe that he wasn't, you know, the one advocating for Adrian Griffin and then subsequently advocating that there be a change. I mean, he has to have been part of that equation, as well as John Horst. I mean, those are the two guys who I think, you know, they will be attached to what happened in Milwaukee in 2023 regardless. But, I mean, I understand that. Giannis should be involved. Giannis is unbelievable. Like, he is the face of the franchise. He should have that level of say. And so that's kind of that's my speculative fall on where I would fall on it. I do want to ask kind of the same question about the Damian Lillard trade. If you would do it again, knowing how it's gone, because I would, in full disclosure, I understand the process. I understand what they were doing, similar to the coach. Like, this isn't working. We are going in a completely different direction, and it's going to take some of the things away from us that have made us great, but we can't. We need to heighten other areas to guarantee that we're not going to fall out of the playoffs again. So I understand the process. I don't know if it's worked, like, for whatever reason. I don't know if this is a move that, you know, I don't know how much longer Damian Lillard is going to be here. I there's no reason to think he wants out, even though I know a lot, there's some speculation on that front. But I think he's, when Jim says he's happy here, I believe him. I just don't know. I don't know if they would do it again. How would you look at it going back?
It's interesting because they didn't just get rid of Jrue Holiday. They brought in Malik Beasley, who's really known for his scoring and his three-point shooting and less for defense. He was never asked to play defense at the level that the Bucks have been accustomed to playing over the – and then also having Damian Lillard on the perimeter. So those are two new starters to that. That's a marriage right there. Like, it wasn't just Jrue and Dame. It was also Malik being
that's a good point.
A newcomer, because you're seeing this with Patrick Beverley now with the type of defense that he plays right at the point of attack. You need somebody like that. Every team needs that, college or pro, and they've really missed that with Jrue. That's why Jrue just got that huge contract extension. So in Boston, The thing that's tricky with Damian Lillard is, you know, he alluded to it a little bit on the DeMar DeRozan podcast that he did about mental health and things like that.
For sure.
We know he went through a divorce that was published in
very public. But, and honestly, like, those are usually not that public unless you're just a certain level of athlete. Like, most athletes get a divorce, it isn't front page news anywhere in the world. But Damian Lillard had to go through that. That's tough.
I think, you know, but I think of, like, Tiger Woods and marital problems. No, I think that's different now. I think that's all. I mean, if you look at USA Today's headlines now, it's all, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that, ugh, I hate it. But it's, I have not worked up the nerve to ask him, how is this affecting you? Because it feels so personal. And usually I ask those personal questions, but I don't know him. I don't know how to read his body language. He talked again on the Thanasis podcast, Thanalysis. He said, you know, his demeanor is very straightforward. It's very almost introverted on the court because of something he went through in high school where he thought he had the game-winning shot. And he
pulled out
that?
His jersey,
and
yeah.
he celebrated it. And I believe that that's part of it. I think that's also his personality, though, mm-hmm. is he's not Bobby Portis. He's not posturing. He's not flexing. He's not doing all that stuff. He's very reserved, as he has every right to be. But I have, from the day he got here, wondered, how's he doing? Like, this is a California guy who's a model, who's a rapper, a musician. He's doing collabs with, I think, like, Korean K-pop music group. I mean, he's worldly.
Yeah.
So how do you go from Portland to Milwaukee? I mean, I love Milwaukee, but is he really happy here? Is he really? And then you hear him in bits and pieces talk about being cut off from his family, not just his kids, but his support network, his mom and all that. God, that strikes yeah. a chord. I mean, so that affects, you know, how much they're willing to talk about it or how much they're even self-aware. That really affects how you are. And we know this from Giannis because he talked about how isolated he felt his first year here without his family and how important.
Of course.
Some guys, that really freaking matters. And when he says it matters to him, I believe it. So then with Lillard also, he's played 73 games this year. He's been kind of a warrior. He's
yeah,
not only played
sure,
with
both
the
of them.
Oblique, yeah, but he's played with the adductor or the groin strain or whatever. And this is the most he's played in 5 years. He's really, I give him so much credit. I know he was 2 of 14 on Sunday, but he tried to say, I'm going to try to lead this team to victory to keep the number 2 seed. Even though it didn't work out, I like that mentality in him. So, but I don't know that we'll ever know this year how he really feels about Milwaukee, how he felt about the, imagine coming here and switching bosses a couple of times, you know, having an interim coach and all that stuff. That is, for the main ball handler on the team, mm-hmm. that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's a horrible assignment. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think when we, if I could put myself in the shoes of a Bucks fan, you think of Portland and you think of Milwaukee, two what I would classify as smaller markets. So you would think that there'd be a similar vibe. It's easy to forget that, first of all, Portland and Milwaukee are very different places.
Very.
And he's a Pacific Northwest guy. Went to Weber State.
Right.
Like, that's been home for him forever, you know? Yeah. Dating back, I mean, Northern California is not the Pacific Northwest exactly, but it's close enough. Like, that is his part of the country. So you come to the Midwest, it's just a very different energy.
Cold and cloudy.
Yeah. It's a very different energy, and you don't have your family, and you could see how that would be a very difficult thing. And, oh, by the way, there are expectations that you are now going to get your championship. You're going to lead this team. It's going to be seamless with another alpha, and you are going to figure out a way to do it.
And all the guys talked about, oh, Dame time. It's his time in the last 8 minutes. I'm like, well, you better contribute, too, in the last 8 minutes.
Right.
Right. Right. All that pressure.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't think any of that has to do with him shooting poorly, you know, in stretches. But most of the time, he's still a Hall of Fame player. He's still a professional too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going. And I do think this is an interesting opportunity where we expect Giannis to not be available game one, maybe beyond that in this Pacers series. Absolutely, a chance for Damian Lillard to sort of take the bull by the horns against a team that does not play defense and see, you know, like if he goes for 45. I said this to Jim. Game one is such an interesting. What a fascinating moment, April 21st, because if the Bucks lose, now it's like they got to rush Giannis back. Everyone is panicking. It's going to go down. They got to win games in Indianapolis, and they're all fired up. First time in the playoffs in 4 years. If they win, Damian Lillard goes for 45. It's like it was all about the playoffs the whole time, the Damian Lillard experiment working. I don't even mean to judge fans who are going to jump to conclusions because I absolutely understand why it's like that. I think that first game is really, really crucial, not even just from a point of psychology point of view, but they can rest Giannis longer if they win the first game and even longer still if they win the second game. So there's also that to consider.
Yeah. Their record's worse, actually, though, with Lillard out again.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's because of the ball handling thing. And remember, Indiana, and they won't let me call this a rivalry yet, but they are up for playing Milwaukee every time.
For sure.
I mean, if Brooke Lopez complains about a foul, they're the ones who complain about it all the time
yeah.
to Brooke and give him a hard time at the free throw line. Like, I've never seen anything like that before. So I hope they don't rush Giannis back. He's had like 4 injuries on the left leg this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't want a ruptured Achilles. That's like a career-threatening type injury.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Anyway. Well, obviously that is going to be the big storyline. But before I let you go, Give me a sense of what you see in the crystal ball for Doc Rivers. I'd be curious if you think a first-round playoff exit versus a run to, say, the Eastern Conference Finals changes the history of what comes next. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Doc Rivers presumably is going to be here for multiple more years. They're not going to pay three coaches and then add a fourth to the ledger here, I don't think. So I don't know. You know, Jim is pretty enthusiastic about the idea of having a full camp together, all these guys together, that would really pay dividends, much as it has for, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves last year when, you know, Gobert was that late addition and it didn't really come together, and now it has. So that's something. They'll be getting older still. How do you think this goes for Doc Rivers? Do you think because he has a chance to really hurt his legacy if the Bucks truly lose this level of championship caliber? I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're still going to be in the mix for a championship next year. But give me, you know, look into your crystal ball. Tell me what you see.
My crystal ball is always messed up. Never good yeah. for me. I don't think he gives a rip about any of that. I can't swear here, right? So I don't think he cares about his legacy.
I got beeps.
You got beeps. I'm not going to make you do extra work. The thing about Doc Rivers is he's the oldest coach that the Bucks have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a young boom baby.
He doesn't seem it. Yeah, like he doesn't seem like 65 or whatever he is.
Except he is the coach. He is not doing this, well, what do you guys want to do kind of thing. He has been observing. He will make criticism. He will
very different public. Energy from the last two coaches.
Totally. Which might keep people on edge a little bit. That's a little bit risky. I think if they learn a little bit more about his playing days and learn about his strategies and his philosophies in general, some bonding time and some time together would work. He wants them to play faster and with less thought. He's talked about that a lot. But to just, you know, go with the natural instincts that you have to make these winning plays.
Yeah.
So that's a huge identity thing that as a team. When you keep preaching that philosophy, that's something that has to have time and practice time to work together and has to be tested time and true on, and they just haven't had that opportunity. But I don't know, you know, it all dependent on this roster too. Do they keep, you know, is Chris still here? Is Brooke still here? I know what the contract stuff is
right,
and all that.
Right,
but
of course.
Doc isn't afraid of a half court offense either. And, you know, that's different in the Giannis peak era, MVP era. It was run, go, you know, run them over, bulldoze people. I mean, they always had that part of their game. And that was fed by the defense, too. So I think there could be a different identity. It really depends more on the roster than it does on the coach. But I like the fact that he has been through so much. And I like the fact that the Bucks seem really keen to learn his point of view. To me, there's just even more that he can offer historically.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy stuff, I think, is entertaining. But again, I guess it all goes back to playoff records and all that. I don't really pay attention to what fans say. I know there have been a couple of player critics, and he's aware of that, too. So he's actually changed and adapted, which I think is pretty cool. He's tried to not meddle in some things. He's said several times, I'm in observation mode. Remember, he's not even been on the job 3 full months yet. So, but I think when he comes back, I expect to see a little bit more of this is how we're going to do it, because mm-hmm. I'm the coach. And, you know, now I understand you guys. And it's a little more of, it's his team rather than players subbing themselves in and out or players saying, I should do this or I should guard this person or that person. There's nothing wrong with that, but that conversation has to happen on the court, behind the scenes, and you have to handle that confrontation as professionals and then present a unified front in the game. It shouldn't be happening during games. It shouldn't be happening in post-game press conferences.
So. Yeah. So, real quickly, because Doc Rivers' reputation is he struggles in the playoffs, even though he does have a title. Do you believe in that? Or is that just like heebie-jeebies that we make up because we can't handle the math that, you know, sometimes it's hard to win a championship, you know? I don't know.
It's bullshit.
I gotta use the beep now? That's perfect.
No, because he's done so well, the problem with him is he's coached for so long that mm-hmm. he's had the opportunity to have this quote-unquote record in the playoffs that's not satisfactory enough to some sure. fans. That doesn't again, I look at the total body of work, and you have to look at who you have. The, you know, if the Bucks lose in the first round, injuries are a huge concern.
Of course.
AJ Green is hurt. Damian Lillard is hurt. Giannis, it's not. Chris Middleton's been dealing with it, so that affected. So, but does that reflect on his coaching? Absolutely not. So every circumstance is different. His own fault is for sticking around so long.
Yeah.
And I think the playoff stuff, again, it's short-sighted. If that's, and fans can do whatever they want, obviously, but if that's all you're going to look at, then that's all you're going to understand. There's so much more to it than
that. Yeah, I think that's well said. She is Lori Nichol. You can find everything she has at jsonline.com. What's your prediction? What do you think? First round. Bucks Pacers, who you got?
I'm really predicting that there's going to be like 12 listeners. All
you know,
I don't do predictions.
I understand. I knew you didn't. I thought I'd put you on the spot there for a second. But again, jsonline.com for Lori Nichol. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of the Point Forward podcast. Bucks Pacers, April 21st, Pfizer Forum. That is the start of the opening round of the 2024 playoffs. Hopefully there are many, many games to come. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.